afternoon to everyone. So very sunny Sunday today. It's been a great pleasure to be here amidst of you guys in order to worship the Lord. And now we are about to learn a few things from the Bible that which we can make use of in our spiritual life. Today we are going to discuss a few things about the topic worship. What is worship? Whom do we need to worship and why? And different types of worship that we can see in the Bible. And what are we supposed to do in order to make a worship to be very pleasing to God? So, worship can be defined simply as it is an action motivated from our heart of devotion. There are some people who do it as a traditional activity. Every Sunday, just like that, they go to church and they do not know why they go and what they do. But it has not to be considered like that, but it has to be done as a devotion to God. And why do we worship? We worship in order to praise the Lord, in order to glorify Him, in order to serve Him and to thank Him. And we also need to know who do we need to worship. So we need to worship our Father, who is the God of the heaven and the earth. And also He is known as the Father of our forefathers, called Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. So these points we have to be very clear, like, because as I said, there are many people who do not understand these things. Just like that, they go to church and come back. So if we want to talk about the different types of worship, Bible talks about two types of worship, and the other one will be a common thing that we see in this world. So we can classify the types of worship on a high level as a vain worship, which God is not interested in. And we can also see ignorant worship, which people do, but they do not know why do they do. And we also see the correct way in order to worship the Lord, the true worship. So if you talk about the vain worship, Jesus describes about a worship in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 9. So Jesus describes that the people, they wanted to listen to Jesus, but they say, okay, Lord, I listen to you, but they just say it from their lips. They do not say it from their heart. So Jesus says that when you serve or worship the God without your heart, without a full heart, it doesn't mean anything for me. It is termed as a vain worship, like how the Israel or the Jews people did on the time when Jesus was alive. And the other thing we want to know is from the book of 2 John, verses from 9 until 11, which states that if we run ahead and do not continue in the doctrine of Christ, so if we do not follow the doctrine of Christ and then if we do a worship, it doesn't make any sense to God because it has to be done in a proper way. So these things we can claim and classify as a vain worship. And the other type of worship that we were discussing about is the ignorant worship. In this world, we can see people worshipping some altars, some idols, and in some specific places, especially they wanted to do it there. And they think that it pleases God. Like in India, you can see there are a lot of churches, like they have different altars, the altar of the idol of Mary having a small child called as Jesus Christ, and some different types, and they want to worship there especially because they think that it will please God and it will glorify Him. But Bible doesn't talk anything about like that, and God will never ever approve such kind of worship. And they do because they do not understand what has to be done. Because Bible is very clear about what has to be done, how it has to be done, but they are not interested into looking into the Bible. So that is where they deviate from the actual way what God is expecting. And if you want to talk about the true worship, when we scan through the Bible, we can come across this verse in the book of John, verses 4, chapter 4, verses 21 until 24. There John writes saying that God expects us to worship in spirit and in truth. This is the way God is expecting us to worship Him. We have to worship Him with full spirit and full-heartedly, and also to do it in spirit and in truth. So if we can conclude the true worship, we can say that the right person whom we need to worship is the God, and the right attitude to worship is the spirit, and the right way to do it is in truth. So this is what and this is how the worship has to be done. And we can also term that this is the acceptable worship which God will approve. Because we can also see in the book of, we also see that in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, where it says that the early apostles came together in order to worship the Lord on the first day of the week. So this is another point that we need to note, that worship has to be done on the first day of the week. And then if we move on to discuss further about the worship, we can say there are five parts of the worship. If we say, okay, today we have a Sunday worship, it has to have five parts. And we can classify those five parts like singing, praying, teaching, the Lord's Supper, and the giving. So a worship which will please God should have all these kind of a parts. It has to be a part of the service. So we can in detail talk about these things, each and everything, as a separate lesson. And today we are going to talk about the teaching. On every first day of the week, we have the Lord's message or the teaching as a part of the service. And today in detail, we will discuss about what is teaching and how it has to be done. So when we talk about teaching, teaching is the only way how the word of God can reach others. So we know what is teaching. And when we talk about spiritually, this is the only way or the medium how the word of God can be exchanged between each other. And we also see in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we know the full chapter, what happens there and how Peter explains and preaches to the entire 17 nation people. And we also see around some 3,000 to 5,000 people getting baptized on the same day. And further down near the end of the chapter in verse 42, we see that the first believers or the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they understood the teaching and they came forward in order to follow the teaching. What they teach and what they preach, they wanted to obey to that and they wanted to believe in that. And then we also see that God added those people to the church. So we see teaching playing a very important role, or teaching is a very important weapon that we can use in order to spread the word of the Lord to this entire nation. This is what God is expecting from us. And we also see some verses from the book of Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 until 20. Where Jesus commands to his disciples or the apostles, saying, teach all nations with the word of the Lord. So this is the commandment what Jesus gives. But there are some preachers which I can refer back to India. They refer these verses saying that just baptize the people in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. So if you do that, they will be righteous and they will be saved. But they do not go further with the verses. In verse 20 it says, make those people to learn all these things. Make them to obey to these commandments. But they never preach that. They stop with that. They say, okay, get baptized in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit and the Son. And okay, so that's all is done. Nothing more you don't need to do. But if you look at the Bible, it says you need to obey to the teaching. Teaching them to obey everything which I have commanded you. Jesus has commanded certain things to the apostles, and they have to teach them so that they grow in faith and they also stay alive of what God is expecting from them. So further, if we want to go in detail about the teaching, we can select few hints or the points. The first one is the teaching as a part of a service, and what is the importance of the doctrine. We have a doctrine which we need to follow and we are following. So we need to find what is the importance of the doctrine and what are the different ways to preach the gospel, to teach others. And finally, we will look at the results of teaching. What are the results and what are the consequences of teaching the truth? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul writes to Timothy saying that we need to teach in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So it is a kind of a recycling process. So I am teaching to another person and that person will teach another person. So this is how you spread the word to the entire nation. So it doesn't mean that maybe Paul would have thought, okay, Paul can travel across the world and then he can preach. But that is not possible. So you can do it in this way. Paul can preach to another person. Say, for example, here Paul teaches to Timothy and Timothy can teach to another one and then to another person. So this is one of the way how we can spread the word of the Lord. And the other thing that we can see in the book of Acts, chapter 7. If you have some time in your free time, just go through this particular chapter. This is a very wonderful chapter and I love this chapter very much. Where Stephen, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, explains the entire Bible until then, right from the beginning until then, what has happened across all these many number of centuries. So Stephen was a very wonderful servant and he explains everything about what happened during that time. And we can see that at the end of the chapter, Stephen is stoned by those people. He was dead at that time. And this made all the people, even the apostles, terrified. All the people were really afraid because Stephen was preaching the word of the Lord and they killed him. And so many of the other people who were looking at this, they were all afraid and even they ran away from the places. If you read from chapter 8 verse 4, it says that all those people, they were really afraid and they ran away from Jerusalem except the apostles. But not only that, even they ran away from their places, they didn't stop preaching the word. This is the more important point that we are looking at. Even sometimes, let's say for example here in Hautalan, if the Belgian government is telling, okay, we should not preach, maybe at this situation we might want to obey to the government. But at that point of time, the people or the disciples, they knew that they will be killed or something. They ran away, but still they wanted to please God and they wanted to obey what God has given them. So this is the more important thing that we are looking at. And if you look from the 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. So here we speak about some special qualities of the word. What is the truth? How is the truth being classified here? We see that we have to crave for this milk of the word. Like a small infant baby, we have to be very anxious in learning these verses. This is how teaching gives very importance to us. So we have to crave for this milk, the spiritual milk, so by that you may grow up in your salvation. So it's not only for a new person who has been baptized, even for us, the anxious thing that we are looking at the word, it will help us to grow our salvation until the day when Jesus comes. So the word is very important for us and this teaching process, it doesn't stop, it keeps on going. Not only that, this truth, the word of the Lord, will ensure that if we follow that, we will end up in the right destination which we are expecting to be the heaven. So somewhere if we are deviating from it, the word will insist that what you are doing is wrong and you have to do this and not that. So we have to be always aligned with the truth. If we are always sticking with the truth, we will not be lost in this world. This point we need to be ensured. And another incident that we can read from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 39 until 42. Here we see an incident which happened to the Peter and some of other apostles who were there along with him, preaching to the people there. So, but the common people have arrested them and they were brought to the court. And maybe I can read that verses, it will help us. The book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 39 until 42. There, one of the important person, the Pharisee named Gamaliel, comes forward to the court and he is talking in favor of the apostles, saying that, but it is, if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of the Jesus and let them go. So here we see an incident where the apostles were preaching in the public and they were arrested and brought to the court and they were warned, saying that they should not preach the word. But the Pharisee, he came forward and said that, okay, if it is not from God, it would have been in vain. But if it is from God, don't find yourself fighting against the God. And then, okay, and then they left the apostles after they thrashed them away, they beat them and they sent them away. Don't speak anything of Jesus. But later on, what happens is, we see that the apostles, they were not at all afraid because they know for what they are doing this work. They know why they want to do that, because Jesus Christ has given them this work. You have to do this, you have to preach the word of the Lord across the nation. So the apostles, what they did, they felt extremely happy and rejoicing because they had been counted worth of suffering for Jesus. They were beaten because of Jesus and for that they were so happy. And not only that, after they were warned by the court, did they stop the teaching? No. If you read at the last verse of the same chapter, verse 42, it says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. So we see how the apostles considered teaching as a very important thing in their life. That was the only thing that was given to them. You have to teach this nation. You have to preach the word of the Lord. And here we see teaching is a really important thing, which is also a part of a service in order to read a lot of things from the Bible. So, for example, if I am reading few things and I can also share with you. And the next verse that we can see is from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 and 11. It says, Paul writes to Timothy, stating that, if you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, brought up in the truth of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. So here he says that he has to command these teachings. There is a way of teaching. It's not like I teach and you don't bother about it. But here it says you have to command them to learn. So there is a way of teaching that we also need to ensure. And then we will move on to the importance of doctrine. What is so important of the doctrine and whose doctrine it is that we are actually following? From where did we get this doctrine? We already read in the book of 2 John verses 9 and 11. We read that if we do not obey in the doctrine of Christ, we do not do a worship which pleases God. So there are many doctrines that are prevailing in this world, but the Bible clearly specifies there is only one doctrine that we need to follow as a Christian. If we are deviating from it, we will not be as a children of God. Now, if we want to ask the question, when do I need to preach? We know that there is only one doctrine. When I am supposed to preach? Bible answers saying that there is no season. There is no time for you to be, okay, this is the time for me to preach and this is not the time for me to preach. We can read from Bible 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 until 4. It says that any time you should be prepared to preach the word of the Lord. So you cannot give an excuse saying that, oh, this time I was not ready or I'm not supposed to preach. No, Bible never allows that. And it says any time you have to be prepared to speak the word of the Lord. And what is so important about this truth? What can the truth do to us? Jesus says that you should know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is one of the verses that we read from the Bible in John chapter 8 and 32. You should know the truth and the truth will set you free. From where does it set us free? It frees us from the sins and even from this world. This world is nothing for us and we are no more related to this world. We are living here just for a few years. But our eternal goal is to go into the heaven. For that we have to be free from all these sins. So until you know the truth and understand it, we cannot be freed from those sins. And Paul also describes about the important power of this doctrine. If you read from Romans chapter 1 and 16, he describes about the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It is a very powerful thing that a person has to understand and a person has to obey. It is the power of God for salvation of everyone. It is not specific to few people. It is for everyone in this world. Whoever believes that this gospel has the power to save him. It has the special features in order to save him and to bring him very closer to God. So we should see this is also an importance of the doctrine that we are looking into. And moreover, we also need to analyze that this doctrine we have received is from God or from Christ. This is not a philosophy which is prevailing in this world. Paul writes to the Corinthian church saying that in the first book of Corinthians chapter 1 and 21, it says, God has made foolish the wisdom of God. In this world, we see there are many scientists, many well-versed people who have a very sound knowledge of this world. But God doesn't expect that sort of a knowledge to be very pleasing to him. Because here we see God has made those knowledge foolish. God is not really interested in that. For since in the wisdom of God, through the world, its wisdom is known to everyone. So God is seeking his knowledge to be available in all the people, but not the wisdom of this world. So if we read the book, so that was verse 1 and 21 from the book of 1 Corinthians. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its knowledge did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. So here we see that he saved all the people who were preached and who understood what was preached as a doctrine, but God was not interested in the knowledge of this world. Many people think that, okay, attaining the knowledge of this world is more important, but God is not interested in that. God doesn't want that. He wants the people to know about him and to know about the knowledge of what is written in the Bible, the word of the Lord. So this doctrine, what we are following or we are thinking and what we believe, which is called as the Christ doctrine, is not a philosophy which is available or which is prevailing in this world. This has come through us, from Christ, through the apostles, through the Bible. This is what we believe. And furthermore, Paul explains that this doctrine, Christ's doctrine, is not a perverted doctrine. It's not a perverted gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 until 8, if we read, Paul really explains the church of Galatians, saying that because he was really stunned and he was astonishing how the Galatians quickly turned back from what they believed. They all believed Christ, they all obeyed, okay, we think Christ is the Son of God and we all will obey and we will follow the new doctrine. This is what they said. But after that, Paul went away for another journey, and when he came back to Galatians, he found that all those people turned back from the new doctrine and they were looking into the Old Testament, the old law which God has given. And then he started explaining, how can you guys really turn back from the new law. This is the new law what you have. This is the one Jesus Christ has given to you, and you all obeyed, saying that, okay, we will believe this. But now how can you go back to that? He says, Colossians, quickly deserting the one who called them by grace of Christ and were turning into a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and you are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So he was really, really worried about the way the Galatians were believing in God at that time. They always wanted to go back to the Old Testament because they were so concentrated on the law of Moses and not on the law of Jesus Christ. So here we see that Jesus Christ's gospel is the one that we need to believe today, because we have no more relationship with the Old Testament, because that is really an old. God has given a new one, a new gospel, a new doctrine for us to follow. And until now we were looking at the importance of doctrine. What is doctrine? What is the importance? How God is expecting what the importance of doctrine from us. And finally we will be looking into the ways of how we can preach the gospel. So we already saw that Paul writes saying that there is no season for us to preach. So we cannot classify some specific season. This is the time only I can do the work of the Lord. This is the time only I can preach or I can teach others. No, we should be always ready at any point of time in order to preach. And whom do we need to preach? We already saw in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, Jesus commands to his disciples that you need to preach the entire nation. You need to go and preach the word of the Lord to all creatures across the nation and make them to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you need to obey to this in order to be saved from this world. And we read these verses very often in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. Teaching also encourages one another. Here we see, let us consider how we spur one another towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us all encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So as we see the second coming of the Jesus Christ coming very near, we do not know when it will be. Bible says that it will be like a day like a thief comes to our home. We do not know when it will be. So as the days are approaching very nearer to us, we need to encourage one another with the word of the Lord. So teaching plays a very important role here. We need to teach one another, explaining what is written in the Bible and how we can save ourselves from this world and be a very good children of what God is expecting from him, so that we can gain his love, so that we can get all his blessing, what God really has in store for us. And there are few mediums of teaching or few mediums of preaching. In the Bible we see sometimes Paul saying that to Timothy, please keep the scrolls and the manuscripts, because at that point of time the scrolls and the manuscripts were one of the source of how the preaching or the word of the Lord was distributed to the others. And right now in today's technology we have many other mediums to preach the word, like we can see the television, we can see the radio, and even mails and personal contacts. So these are one of the mediums that are now available for us in order to spread the word of the Lord. So at that point of time there was only one thing, that one person has to go to someone else and to preach it. But now we have many other options and many other ways or mediums that we can spread the word of the Lord. So it is really an important responsibility on us in order to ensure how we do this work as efficient as possible. Because God will come and really ask us, okay, you had so many options. What are the options that you made? What are the options that you tried in explaining or in spreading the word of the Lord? So at that point of time, if we want to be answerable to his questions, so we need to make ourselves so that we do the right thing which pleases the Lord. And not only this, teaching, the results of teaching, when we teach, we also ensure that we grow really mature in the spiritual life. We read from book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 until 11. These are really, really encouraging verses from Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses, sorry, it is 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 until 11. Starts with making one's calling and election sure. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome unto the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we should possess these qualities which will really make sure that we grow in spiritual maturity. These are the qualities as a Christian we need to possess. We read so many qualities, and we have to strive forward day by day in growing more and more towards God, which will really, really please Him. And by this time, we have been baptized so many years back. If I remember correctly, like it has been somewhere around some 2 to 3, 4 years, you would have been already baptized or born into Christ. In the book of Hebrew, we read in chapter 5, verses 12 until 14, Paul really expects something from us, but maybe we might be a little bit slow from what he is expecting from them. Verses chapter 5, verses 12 until 14. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. So, let us think about ourselves, in which situation we are. Are we still dependent on the milk, or are we still dependent in taking up the solid food? If we are still dependent on the milk, which means that we are still infants in Christ, we are still to grow more and more, and we still need a lot of this to grow in our faith. But if you see here, by this time we have to be a teacher to teach the others, to teach our friends, to teach our family members. This is what God is expecting from us. This is how God loves you, and this is what God is expecting in return from you. So at this point of time, I would like to insist that we need to be a proper teacher in explaining things and not an infant in Christ. And we should also serve as a faithful teacher to the Lord. I can read from another verse. I think we are almost done with this. In chapter Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 until 16. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So God really wanted to have some teachers in order to teach His word to the world, and in order to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be rebuilt up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If we do this, we still read, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each other does its part. So here we see God really wants some people to be a teacher, which will help us in reaching the unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son, and also to become mature and mature in the spiritual life. So teacher, this part of teaching really plays a very important role in the spiritual life. Not only for us, it also helps other people to come near the Christ. And we should also be always ready to answer the people who ask you some questions in what you believe. We already saw that there is no season for you to preach others. And also when someone is asking some questions to us, why do you believe in Christ? So there are a lot of questions that we might expect from other people. But Bible says that in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, we should be always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason why do you believe in that. You have a lot of hope in that, but why do you believe? We need to be answerable to them. Just like that, we cannot tell, okay, I go to church because my father goes or because my mom goes. No, we should be really able to give an answer to them. And it has to be done with gentleness and respect. This is what Bible expects from us. So, today we were looking into the worship. We learned what is worship. And we also saw it has to be done from the heart of devotion. It is an action from the heart of devotion. And we also learned about different types of worship that Bible describes. The vain worship, the correct way of worship, and also we saw the ignorant type of worship that what the normal people in this world do. And we also learned about the five parts of the worship: singing, praying, teaching, Lord's Supper, and giving offering. So these are the five parts of worship, and if you want to have a whole worship, we should have all these parts in the worship. Because there are some people who practice any four or any three of them and saying that, okay, we did a worship. But Bible clearly thinks that, okay, these are the things which are to be a part of the service. And we also saw what is teaching and how it plays a very important role in the worship. In the worship, we mainly see that Lord's Supper is one of the important things that we do, and the other thing is the teaching, and later comes on the praying and singing. And today we were learning about teaching, and we can also speak about the singing and praying like we did for teaching, and maybe going forward in future, if God permits, I will continue with this message. Thank you. Amen.